this effort has been put together by many organizations. One of the lead organizers of this march is the United States Student Association. And we have here today Jennifer Pai, member of the National Youth and Student Peace Coalition.
Good morning, everyone. Thank you, thank you. My name, once again, is Jennifer Pai, and I'm the elected vice president for the U.S. Student Association. We are the nation's oldest and largest national student association, founded in 1947 under the belief that education is a right, not a privilege. We are proud to be here with the National Youth and Student Peace Coalition, and we're here to send a clear message. We demand that Congress take a step and demand that books, not bombs. We want our troops to come back 1 week after Congress decided to make the largest cuts in the student loan programs. We see the president release a budget to cut and eliminate 141 federal programs. How many of them were education programs? One third. Where are our priorities? Where is our commitment? Education is the backbone to our society, to our country, and we are here to stand up and fight. We are here to march, and together in solidarity, I am so proud to be here with folks from across the country to make a clear and sound message. Once again, USSA and NYSPC demand that we ensure that it is books, not bombs. We need to make sure that we are investing in our future, because what does that mean for tomorrow? What does that mean when our money is going to an endless pot rather than investing in our future? So once again, thank you for being here, and we are proud to be here, and we will continue to fight and make our voices loud and clear.
Another one of the sponsoring organizations of this rally in March is Veterans for Peace. And representing that organization today is its executive director, Michael McPherson.
Hello, everyone. My name is Michael McPherson. I'm the executive director of Veterans for Peace. I'm also a so-called first Gulf War veteran. And my son is serving right now in Iraq. And I want to say that only by the grace of God am I here today, like the sister who just came down where her brother is in jail, is not even here, is being deported, is in jail. Our government does not take care of our veterans, and that is the perfect example of that. I have a quick prepared statement. Today we gather with Iraq veterans against the war, Vietnam veterans against the war, other veterans, military families, Gold Star families, friends and supporters to say, stop the war in Iraq. Support the troops, bring them home now, and take care of them when they get here. It is clear that the people of the United States have been misled into an immoral war of aggression and greed. Our service members have been sent into harm's way, not for the interest of the people, but to further the goals of corporations and as part of an attempt at U.S. global military and economic domination. Civilian leaders who have taken the country to war and now allow its continuation appear not to care about the deaths and destroyed lives brought about by this conflict. As soldiers, we pledge to defend the Constitution and protect our nation from enemies, both foreign and domestic. It is clear to us as veterans that we are still on duty. We must stand up for those soldiers who are now serving. We must protect our Constitution from domestic perils. We will not stand idly by and see the values we swore to protect trampled. It is time to change course. It is time to end the war in Iraq. U.S. troops are causing more harm than good. We need to bring them home now. We need to take care of our obligations to the Iraqi people. We must help the Iraqi people with technical expertise, civilian personnel where needed, and provide funding as appropriate. It is the only honorable thing to do. And lastly, this administration is rattling its saber as if it's going to attack Iran, and that is crazy. Operationally, we cannot send troops into there. It would be totally nuts. So I'm saying to you, do not attack Iran, is what I'm saying to the president. Bring all of our troops home now. Thank you.
All right. Who can forget the disaster of Hurricane Katrina? And we have here today a representative for another one of the lead organizers of this march, Kali Williams of the People's Hurricane Fund.
It's very critical today that we're linking these struggles the struggles against U.S. aggression abroad, and the struggle against U.S. government neglect inside of its own country. People should understand that Hurricane Katrina only precipitated a government-made disaster. What happened in New Orleans, what happened in the Gulf Coast could have been prevented. It could have been stopped if the government had decided to deploy all of its forces as it is in Afghanistan, if it is in Iraq, and commit those resources to the people of this country. What happened in New Orleans with the dams and everything breaking, that's a man-made, that's a human-made, that's a government-made catastrophe. We need to be clear on that. Everybody needs to be clear on that. What we need to be addressing in terms of linking this is a couple of critical things I want everybody to know in terms of rallying for and supporting all the different peoples who are victims of Hurricanes Katrina and Rita. The United States government, through the agency of FEMA, is threatening by June 1st to make homeless thousands of people all over again. And we're fastly approaching the one-year anniversary, and they don't have a plan to first, should another hurricane come, to evacuate people, to house people, to close people, right? The government is responsible for all of this. So all of these different things that it's doing in the name of aggression abroad, pouring all in billions of resources abroad, need to be rediverted, need to stop the war and bring those resources home to service the people here at home and to service the people who are the victims of Katrina. Thank you.
Okay. Now we have one of our national leaders here today from the National Action Network, the Reverend Al Sharpton.
Thank you. We're here today because this war is illegal, is immoral, and unethical. We have a president that misled the American people. The American people have sought to end this war. We don't need to delay the end. We need the end of this war now. This president that failed to protect the people of this country by going after those he claimed attacked us here in New York. They are still at large. While he has went and captured the head of Iraq that had nothing to do with the attacks here at the World Trade Center. This president that can see weapons of mass destruction in Iraq that are not there, but couldn't see a hurricane in New Orleans that is there. This president that is now doing a buildup toward Iran. He must be stopped. So we come today to march together across all racial lines, religious lines, dogmatic lines, ideological lines. We are the true picture of American people that want to stop the war and stop the war now. As Martin Luther King and others came together and stopped the Vietnam War, we come from all hues of the rainbow with all views to say this war must be stopped. We march as the true American people to protect American interests. You can't bring democracy to Baghdad and continue to deny it in New Orleans. We must bring democracy home, and we must bring the troops home now. Thank you.
Oh, you should see the crowds are gathering. I can see them from here. This is great. Another one of the lead organizers of this march is the president, Friends of the Earth, Brent Blackwelder.
Friends of the Earth is proud to be an organizer of this great march and rally. Friends of the Earth is the largest global environmental advocacy network. We have member groups in 71 countries. We have been opposed to this war from the start. We're opposed to it today. We need to end this war now. At a time when our nation needs the most visionary, far-sighted leadership, we have a president who has spent hundreds of billions of dollars on a massively destructive war, a war that destroys human and natural resources, at a time when the whole earth is facing a disaster from global warming. People in all parts of the world, from the highest mountain, Mount Everest in Nepal, to lowlands in Bangladesh to right here on our Gulf shores, we are seeing the implications of global warming every day. The glaciers are melting on Mount Everest. Massive and violent storms hit the Gulf Coast not just once, but twice last year. We got to spend resources on real problems and use our brave young people on urgent matters. Global warming unites all of humanity and all of life on Earth. This war is a disaster. We need to change course. End the war now.
We have some elected officials with us today. I'd like to introduce New York State Assemblyman Roger Green.
Giving honor to God, the God that some call Elohim, others call Yahweh, others call the Christ, and others call Allah. We come here today, all members of the human family, and in hopes that we could create a coalition of conscience to bring our troops home and bring peace to the globe. So this week, members of the New York State Legislature will be sponsoring, I'll be sponsoring a resolution that calls upon immediate withdrawal of our troops from Iraq and also from Afghanistan. That bill is being supported by more than 20 members of the state legislature, and its moral impulse is really based upon something that Dr. King said when, in fact, he spoke out against the wars in Southeast Asia. 1967, at Riverside Church, Dr. King said that bombs dropped in Southeast Asia would inevitably explode in our urban centers. What his prophetic voice meant was that the disinvestment in our urban centers was in fact related to an investment in military hardware and death. And it is in that context that we call upon all our people in the city of New York and the state legislature to join us in this great struggle. Again, one of the things that Dr. King said at a time of another crisis is that the true test of a people is not based upon where they stand at a time of comfort and convenience, but it is based upon where they stand at a time of crisis in history. He then went on to say that the difference between this crisis is defined as both a time of despair, a time of opportunity, and that opportunity is organized around leadership. We stand here to provide leadership with all members of our human family to bring our troops home and bring peace to our globe. God bless you.
All right, another one of our elected officials, Borough Manhattan President Scott Stringer.
Thank you. How are you? I am very proud today to stand with thousands and thousands of people from all over the United States and many people from Manhattan to call on this president and this Republican administration to bring these troops home now. We cannot, in this urban center called New York, simply afford a war that is drying up the precious resources that we need to use for our children, to fund education and our healthcare system, and to give people an opportunity for a very strong and important life that doesn't have to end in a battlefield in a faraway country. This is not our war, and this is not the country that we should be promoting. America, we should be better than this. So I'm here today to join with you at this rally, to march and to march peacefully, to make sure that our voices are heard. And I praise everybody of all different backgrounds who are coming together in coalition to fight for this country, and that's why we're here. Thank you.
We have now a strong fighter for peace and justice, a member of Congress representing Brooklyn, New York, Major Owens.
This is a march of great patriots of America. You care about the country. You care about democracy more than anybody else. This is a time when you ought to understand that the pressure should be applied full force on the Congress of the United States, especially the members of my Democratic Party. Now is the time for every Democrat to stand up in Congress and be counted. We have a very practical solution on the board. John Murtha, a hawk who supported the war in the first place, in contact with the military, John Murtha has declared this war can't be won. We're wasting our money and our time and wasting lives. We should pull out. and he has a six-month plan for pulling out. Only 110 Democrats have signed under that resolution. Over the weekend, get busy. Make sure that every Democrat who refuses to sign up on the John Murtha resolution is made to understand that he's a coward. Only a coward would not have signed the Murtha resolution. Beyond that, we want to call for the resignation of Rumsfeld right now. The resignation of Rumsfeld. Now, he says it's all symbolic. It doesn't matter. Everything matters. Keep the pressure on. Keep the pressure on. Let's get the Congress cowards out in the open and make them stand up and admit they're cowards. There's no reason why we can't move right now to pull the troops out, save lives, save dollars, and save America. Thank you.
Okay, we have now, representing the clergy and lady concerned about Iraq, the national coordinator, Reverend Sekou.
My name is Reverend Osagyefo Sekou. I am the national coordinator of clergy and laity concerned about Iraq. We represent some 250 faith-based institutions working to end this immoral war. At a moment when much of this administration's activity is justified through biblical aims, we are calling on religious leaders throughout this country to repent for their silence against this war, to resist through forms of righteous indignation, and to renew a prophetic commitment to social justice. In that aim, on Monday, May 1st, some 60 clergy will go to the UN, the U.S. mission at the UN, in a requested meeting with John Bolton, asking him to close that torture chamber called Guantanamo. If he is unwilling to meet with us, we will stay as long as possible, and we are willing to risk arrest in order to make sure that democracy continues to breathe and continues to be alive. Finally, we call on religious leaders throughout this nation to live out the best of their own religious traditions and its commitments to peace and justice, and join us in committing radical acts of civil disobedience in order to bring our country closer to the democratic project. At this time, when much of the demonization against immigrants and against people from the Middle East, we say to all religious leaders that we are all Muslim now, that we must all stand with Muslims in their struggle to be free and humane citizens at this particular moment in American democracy. And at this time, I would like to introduce our friend and our brother, Imam Saeed Al-Ray, who is the Imam of the Islamic Cultural Center. Thank you.
Okay. My name is Samir, not Saeed, which even Saeed min Habi. Anyway, I will greet everybody to say Assalamu alaikum, peace be upon you all, from every faith, from every color, every background. In English, peace. In Hebrew, shalom. We are here as a Muslim to say that Islam is misunderstood by a lot of religious people, by a lot of leaders in this country and abroad. The Quran commands us, for all of us, when he say, surely, God commands justice, equalities, peacefulness, righteousness, to show good for those who are nearer than you. So on that behalf, and behalf of the Muslim community, I urge every leader here to break the fishes of the cycle of viciousness. War only make more terrorists. War only make more trouble. We are here right now to say to everybody, the war costs every minute $100,000. How many poor people we can feed in that money? How many orphans we can take care for? So we urge everybody at this time to march with us to command peace and justice for everybody, for Muslim, for Christian, for Jewish, for Buddha, for every faith. We are here together to say to everybody, peace be upon you all, and God bless you all. Thank you.
stepping down.
Okay, we're almost there, getting ready to step off on time. Another lead sponsoring organization is the head of the Climate Crisis Coalition, Ibrahim Rame.
Good morning, everyone. My name is Ibrahim Abdul-Muid Rami, peace be upon you. A victory against war is a victory for the earth. A victory against corporate greed and irresponsible consumption is a victory for the earth. I would like to read a brief prepared statement from the Climate Crisis Coalition. I serve as a member of their steering committee. We are a broad network of more than 70 local and national organizations representing peace, social justice, labor, and faith-based groups and networks deeply concerned with global warming and environmental destruction. We undertake our advocacy and action with the firm conviction that massive national and global action is needed to address the threat of global warming that threatens all human life on Earth. This collective struggle today must be a struggle for the eradication of war. But we bring to this movement the understanding that ending the war against the environment itself must be a central element of our work for peace and justice. The Climate Crisis Coalition realizes that unhealthy, oil-driven economy is an engine that propels both resource wars and the unintelligent attack on the environment itself. Our call is for rational and intelligent civil actions, responsible consumption, and national and corporate policies required to create a sustainable environment and from this, a sustainable future for all of us. We urge all of you who are gathered here to recognize that the issues of peace, justice, and environmental sustainability are inextricably bound together in the web of mutuality that Dr. King talked about. We will work for peace and justice with a deep and firm understanding that there can be neither peace nor justice until our planet itself survives. Go to www.climatecrisiscoalition.org. Thank you very much.
A lot of us remember this name from a while ago, very familiar. 35 years ago, this man revealed the Pentagon Papers, Daniel Ellsberg.
Hi. Thank you. I'm Dan Ellsberg. I'm here today because I don't think George Bush is stupid. I think he's dangerous. He's endangering our security. He's endangering our Constitution. Of course, he's not alone in that. I don't think just getting rid of Don Rumsfeld, as the generals want to do, will make us a lot better off. When it comes to people with really bad judgment, this team has depth. The question is, what do we do about it? What do we do even before November to prevent an attack on Iran, which would be as great a catastrophe as the attack on Iraq, or nuclear weapons, which would be still beyond history in terms of catastrophe? Cy Hirsch tells us that the administration is filled with people and the military ranks are filled with people who are doing operational plans for the use of nuclear weapons against Iran, either initially or as that conflict escalates, as it would. I was in that position myself in the Pentagon 35 and more years ago. What should a patriotic official do when he knows that his commander-in-chief is leading the country over the cliff, is acting wrongly? I have advice for them. Cy Hirsch says a number of them are so appalled, they're considering resigning. When I read that in the New Yorker, April 17th issue, I thought to myself, resigning after the attack or before it? Even before it would not make any difference. I have a better word for them, a better thing for them to do than to resign. Leak. Put out unauthorized disclosure of those criminal plans. Put out the Joint Chiefs of Staff calculations and estimates as to why that is a totally wrong position to do. Don't wait for the Joint Chiefs to do it. The officials who know that can, at the risk of their freedom, the risk of prosecution, I was facing 115 years in prison possibly, and that was certainly worth it. They can put that out, and my word to them is, don't do what I did. Don't wait till the new war has started. Don't wait till that nuclear bomb has fallen before you go to the press and the public with what they need to know to stop it. Thank you.
There have been wars of necessity, and there are wars of choice. The Civil War, when in part of the country sought to secede from the Union and engage in treason and sedition and maintain slavery, that war had to be fought. World War II, the rise of fascism and Holocaust driven by the perverted views of Hitler, the war in which 55 million were ultimately killed, that war had to be fought. Then there are wars of choice driven by power and poor manipulation, Reagan invading Grenada, diverting attention from the Marine barracks attack in Lebanon, Bush 41 invading Panama, and Bush 43 invading and occupying and now seeking to conquer Iraq. Wars of choice. We're told that it is our obsession with democracy and democratic values that is driving our actions, in which 2,400 Americans have been killed, thousands of Iraqis have been killed, innocent civilians called collateral damage. Billions of dollars have been spent, $6 billion a month and counting. For that democracy, we allowed Iraqi Americans to vote in the Iraqi election by satellite in America. On site, same day registration. 17 forms of identification. With U.S. escort to the polls. That was our passion for democracy in Iraq. But for democracy, for Katrina survivors in New Orleans, the federal government reduced the federal voting standards of pre-clearance. It shifted the burden back to the states. The Secretary of State will not allow eligible voters with the candidates. The state will not allow satellite voting. So if you can vote for democracy in Iraq from New York, why not New Orleans? In other words, the democracy for Iraqis, we spend billions. For those in New Orleans, we reject dollars. This war of choice is not just tactically wrong. It is morally wrong. We have been lied to, and we have been spied on. We've lost lives and money and honor. It's time to go another way. Our youth are killing and being killed for no good reason. We're sinking in a hole. We need a rope to pull us out. Bush wants a shovel to dig a deeper hole. We deserve leadership and to end this crisis. Rumsfeld does not and never did have the answer. Bush does not have the vision. On the U.S. hit list is Venezuela, North Korea, and Iran. We cannot declare war on the whole world. Diplomacy from strength matters. So we cannot settle for one part but two names. It's time to fight back. America's come alive. Today we march to end the war in Iraq. Tomorrow we march to end genocide in Darfur. Monday we march for a fair and just immigration policy. America's on the march again. And don't stop marching until there's hope and healing and there's new leadership in the White House. God bless you and keep hope alive. Let nothing stop you and nobody turn you around.